Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. Next time you're hosting a get-together, forget the bowls of chips and store-bought hummus. Try an Italian classic, antipasti. We're talking about platters of fresh mozzarella, sopressata, prosciutto and melon, marinated olives, roasted red peppers, all easier to assemble than you might think. Savour editor-in-chief and James Beard award-winning cookbook author Stacey Adamando wants us to expand our antipasti horizons and change the way we think about party appetizers, as she does in her new book, Piatti, Plates and Platters for Sharing, inspired by Italy. Piatti is published by Chronicle Books, and Stacey will be at the 92nd Street Y on May 16th at 7 p.m. But she's in our studio now. Hi.
Hi, Allison.
So the dedication of your book reads, "For my family, past, present, and future." So how is your family, past, present, and future an inspiration for a book about antipasti?
That's a great question. So they were my inspiration in every way for this book. Basically, I grew up in a very large and boisterous Italian-American family. My dad actually grew up on Mulberry Street here in New York, which is the center of Little Italy. And my grandparents all were descendants of Southern Italy. So Italian cooking has been ingrained in me since birth. and I really embraced it when I got older and started to realize what a gem this was. You know, a lot of families aren't really sure where they came from, or they came from a mix of places. And it was really special to me to be able to sort of distill down everything that I'd learned from them and a combination of what I'd also learned on my Italian travels. So I think, you know, my parents named me Stacey. I'm Italian-American. My accent's not great when I go to Italy. So, you know, I really consider myself sort of half here, half there. And I thought this book would be a way to make sure that these recipes aren't lost and can carry down through generations.
When we think about antipasti in the traditional Italian sense, what is it?
Well, so it's funny because I think that word brings to mind certain things in America, like caprese salad or arancini balls or something, and I think that's very limiting. My view of antipasti is so much more regional, having traveled around the country. And I think everywhere you go, it's something a little bit different depending on what's grown in that region and what's sort of popular there and the style there. So, you know, in southern Italy, you might see a big, abundant platters of vegetables, you know, grilled simply and then slathered with like olive oil and mint. But when you're in Rome or Tuscany, where there's, you know, white beans or different herbs like rosemary or sage, you might see, you know, a big dish of white beans with crispy pork or some, you know, fiori di zucca. That's the zucchini blossoms that are stuffed with ricotta and maybe some anchovies. So everywhere you go, there's something a little bit different. But I think what it all has in common is that it's generous. It's simple. You know, it's easy to put out because this is the first of many courses Italians are going to serve. I like to just eat it as, you know, a main course sometimes because it's so filling, but it's the first thing that a lot of them put out. So you really want to keep it simple and just friendly, you know, stuff that can sit out at room temperature. People can kind of graze on it gradually and it won't get any worse as it sits out. Those are kind of some of the pillars of antipasti throughout Italy.
You're also a fan of mixing the store-bought ingredients with things made from scratch. So tell me, what's worth making from scratch?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, a lot of inspiration for Italian cooks comes from walking around the market. So I think anytime, you know, you can incorporate some fresh vegetables or maybe the regional seafood or a simple meat into a dish, it just kind of makes everything pop, adds a little bit more color, definitely got those textures going and lots of great combinations of flavors. But, you know, maybe you don't feel like baking bread from scratch. I don't know if that's necessary. It's such a staple at the antipasti table. You want it to sort of sop up all that great olive oil and all the sauces from things. But I don't think you have to make that yourself. You can rely on a great bakery for that.
My guest is Stacey Adamando. Her new book is called Piatti, Plates and Platters for Sharing, inspired by Italy. Okay, if I pronounce things wrong, please help me. I only had one semester.
I'm in the same boat.
I had one semester of Italian. Tavrilli?
Tiralli.
So you see them in Italian delis. They're sort of those ring-shaped biscuits.
Yes.
Worth making them at home?
You know, I love it. So what I incorporated into the book, the only baking that's in there is baking that either comes in the form of sort of like easy crackers and tiralli, the little biscuits, or, you know, mm-hmm. flatbreads that don't require any fermentation or sourdough or anything like that. So they're all meant to be simple. I think it's worth it to make something like tiralli. So these are from southern Italy, particularly in Puglia. And a lot of times they're very dry, so they're sort of slow cooked and very crumbly and delicious. and they're served, you know, they'll have either something like fennel seeds in the mix or rosemary or black pepper. So they have this kind of nice spice that, you know, just kind of gives the mouth a little relief from everything else you're eating. So something like that, or I make my own grissini, which is so fun. Now that's from Northern Italy in the Torino region. But grissini are those great breadsticks that when you sit down at a lot of Italian restaurants.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah, they're really tall ones and they're skinny and you can eat like 14 of them without even noticing it. Those are really fun. I dip those in some seeds sometimes, like sesame seeds or poppy seeds. And they're so pretty and they just decorate the table in a nice way. And people just munch on them, you know, as soon as they sit down and walk in. So you've got something to put out right away. So I think it's worthwhile.
I want to point to something that's not something I think people would necessarily expect in an antipasti platter. Roasted cherries with sour cream and hazelnuts. Mm-hmm. How does this work in antipasti?
So I should say that this book, you know, I like to consider it Italian inspired. You know, piatti is the Italian word for plates, pretty much. But in general, I sort of took inspiration from the plates of Italy and riffed on it a little bit. So I thought, you know, there are ways to make something in the Italian spirit that's sort of rustic and simple and spotlights these gorgeous flavors of these ingredients that are locally grown. And in the summertime for me, like, and for Italians, you know, walking through the market, you cannot resist those beautiful, rich, dark red cherries. So I wanted to put them out, but do something a little bit special with them. So I actually kind of slather them in olive oil and a little bit of red wine vinegar and even a little bit of salt and pepper. And then I roast them. It takes about, I'd say, you know, 15 to 20 minutes, maybe not even. And I leave the pits and stems intact. And when they come out, they're still intact, but they're really soft and sort of caramelized and extra sweet. And you can pop them in your mouth just like olives. It's amazing. So people love this. They're like, roasted cherries. I've never heard of that. And again, it's so easy. You don't need to do anything except wait 10 minutes for them in the oven. And then, you know, you put out something that feels really special and people feel very taken care of.
I have an etiquette question because you have shell on shrimp. You've just talked to me about cherries with pits. Me as the guest, what am I supposed to do with pits and shells? And is there anything a host can do so that your guests don't feel strange about spitting things out?
Yeah, I hear you.
Just
you
curious.
Know, I think I like to treat my guests like family and just have them feel really comfortable around the table or the coffee table or wherever we're eating. But to me, I mean, part of the antipasti thrill is all of the little bowls and the big plates that end up filling up the table. So you've got, you know, maybe like a baking pan with something you just took out of the oven and then, you know, a beautiful set of bowls. Maybe you have a cake stand with something else on it. And then you can kind of sprinkle in these little bowls for pits and things that aren't as noticeable. They're not going to stand out so much on the table among everything else. I just kind of encourage guests to feel comfortable and say, you got to warn them, you know, don't forget to tell them that there are pits in those cherries or pits in those olives. But yeah, just encourage them to feel at home and go for it.
And when you set a table as a host or hostess and you know you're going to be grazing all evening, fresh plates every time, everybody keep the same plate.
I'm casual, you know.
Love it.
I like to just let them go for it. And if people want to just, you know, pop by the kitchen and quickly rinse off their plate or, you know, just throw something on a cocktail napkin if their plate's been filled up, like, I'm all for it. I feel like, you know, the combination of flavors in antipasti is what's fun. Putting together a menu from piatti is always really fun depending on the season or, you know, what's looking good in your grocery store. So I say, you know, put it all together.
My guest is Stacey Adamando. The name of her new book is Piatti, Plates and Platters for Sharing, Inspired by Italy. You have a recipe for shrimp and cherry tomato fra diavolo with bacon and fresh corn.
Mm-hmm.
Is it spicy? Fra diavolo is always thought of as being very spicy.
Exactly. Yep, that's what the name means. And it's funny because some people say that fra diavolo actually is an Italian-American invention and that it kind of worked its way backwards into Italy. They were like, the Americans love this. Let's use it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's typically put over pasta, and a lot of times it's served with shellfish. So you might see like mussels or shrimp or lobster or clams in there. But I kind of, you know, reduced the sauciness of it and made it more like a just enough sauce to coat. And I serve it with shrimp and a little bit of summer corn and fresh cherry tomatoes. And it takes like 10 minutes in the pan. Oh, I think there's a little crispy bacon in there, too. And you can actually like eat the shrimp with your hands or just like, you know, throw a fork in it. But it's really all about the good spicy sauce and the shrimp. There's no pasta to fill you up and stand in the way.
You've had it with caprese salad. You're very clear about that.
I'm over it. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, to each their own. But Caprese to me just needs a little update. I feel like you see it everywhere. A lot of times the tomatoes aren't that good, especially when they're not in season. So in the book, I actually did my version of it, which is fresh mozzarella, of course, and then either roasted, you know, under the broiler or grilled peppers. And then I actually, you know, so those have like a nice saucy, soft consistency. And then I slice fresh hot peppers over the top. So you get crunch from that, which Caprese salad doesn't have, and that always drives me kind of nuts. And then that same beautiful basil and olive oil over the top. So it's, again, it's something that people kind of have seen, but then they're like, wow, you know, I've never seen this version, and it makes everything feel a little more special.
There is this looks fantastic. Tomato, raw beet, and strawberry panzella.
Panzanella. Yes.
I lost a syllable in there. Panzanella. in little letters with cucumber and shallots.
Yes. So, okay.
What is panzanella, first of all?
So I think, you know, a lot of people might have heard of this. It comes from Tuscany. And, you know, the legend is that back in the day, the Tuscans would only bake their bread every few days. So what they had left over, they had to find a way to use. So that was often kind of crusty and hard by that point. But they'd cut it up and kind of sauce it with the juices of tomatoes and olive oil and vinaigrette. And that would be a panzanella salad. So my version, I love that. It's all like wonderful things, and I didn't want to take those away. But instead, I added to it, and I actually sliced up like really tiny fresh strawberries, and then a little bit of raw red beet, which people don't realize you can eat beets raw. But if you slice them thinly, I kind of do like matchsticks in this recipe. They're so good. They're crunchy. They have like all this great natural sweetness, like a root vegetable would. You know,
is it like a radish kind of texture?
It's not as spicy as that. I'd liken it more to a carrot almost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that same kind of sweetness and crunch. And then you dress all that with like a red wine vinaigrette and toss it all together. It's so good, and it's so colorful to put on your summer table.
And you do have some classics in here, though. You have garlic knots.
You know, yeah, I had to just like throw a garlic knot in there. It's funny. That is so Italian-American. Like if you've gone to any deli or pizza shop or something, there's various quality of garlic knots all over the place. But I thought, you know, it's kind of fun because what I did was I brought them into the kitchen with a bunch of friends, and we were drinking maybe a little bit too much wine, and we all just started to make our own shape of garlic knots. So it was like, oh, look at what hers looks like, look what his looks like. And it came out so good. I mean, they all come out good no matter what, no matter what they're shaped like. So they're these doughy balls, and I put both, you know, garlic powder, which is traditional in all these like funny Italian-American shops. But I also put a ton of fresh garlic and butter over the top with some sprinkling of chopped parsley. So it's colorful. The whole kitchen smells like garlic. Like, who doesn't love that?
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. As you know, on the internet, there's a huge debate about the Aperol Spritz. Is it a great drink or is it horrible? What say you, Stacey Adamondo?
I'm into it. You know, I think, I mean, first of all, there are so many spritzes out there, not just the Aperol Spritz. So they're all, you know, they're all like my children. I love them all equally but differently. But I mean, I think, you know, again, I think maybe if you're in sort of a touristy spa or like someplace in the States that doesn't really go by the tradition, it might run a little sweet. But the bitter version's nice and icy and refreshing. I think it's great.
She has weighed in, the executive editor of Sunnyware Magazine. Her new book is Piatti, Plates and Platters for Sharing, inspired by Italy. Stacey, congratulations on the book.
Thanks so much.
And Stacey will be at the 92nd Street Y on May 16th. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I'll meet you next hour.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.